It's time to take a ride on the MCD.
Funko Pop. It's the Modern Christian Dudes Podcast. Dudes talking news, sports, and God. We actually haven't been talking. We've been all serious the past couple of podcasts because we're going through this Bible study called Sin Management. It's based on the life of Samson. It's from a paper that I wrote here a couple months back. And so today we're going to go to part three of this Bible study called Sin Management. And today we're going to specifically talk about identity. So I'm going to welcome back Maxwell. No, Maxwell's not here. I hit in my notes that Maxwell's going to be here. Sorry, Maxwell, shout out to you. He's one of our friends. He's in Germany right now or something. So soccer, he probably had to be at a soccer game or rugby game or something like that. Harrison, Rolando, and Sam Swift are with me here on this one. Once again, I'll give you this for the last time. The warning, you can't manage sin. It's just clickbait. And so there's no possible way to manage sin. And if you try to, you will fail. I guarantee you that. And so did Samson. So this became clear when we looked at the area of compartmentalization and compromise in Samson's life. So here's a group question for us as we start this off. I really think all of Samson's problems revolve around one issue. To me, it all revolves around one thing. But before I give you my answer, I want to ask you what you think. What was Samson's main issue in all of it, from the first relationship to the prostitute, to Delilah, to the killing of the animal, taking honey out of a dead carcass, all of this stuff that he did? What do you think his main problem was?
I think his main problem was really just allowing little things just to pass, of just like little sins here and there. It's like, oh, you know, I did this and this, but there's no major consequences, really. You know, and he's just like, oh, I must be invincible. You know, I think his biggest issue is pride. And just saying that, oh, I'm invincible, I can, you know, just do whatever, and God's still going to bless me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about disobedience, because all the
disobedience
of his parents, and then you weren't, what was that called again, whenever they weren't able to touch a dead carcass, what was that law?
The Nazirite vow.
And so he was disobedient on that, and then, yeah, marrying that woman whenever his parents were saying, no, you shouldn't marry that. And you could say lust, too. You know, lust was also in there.
Definitely. Get on that. Rolando, what do you think?
I think he was just doing it for himself. There was his faith wasn't in there whenever he was doing everything else that he wasn't supposed to be doing. So he was just thinking, no, he's just, you know, has all the power. And he didn't think he was going to get caught or, you know, have everything to himself that he wanted.
Yeah. So I think it all revolves around one issue. And I would say the main issue is that he never lived out his identity in God. And I really want to try to explain that, hopefully. So we read of his God-given skills, his abilities, long hair, strength, etc. But sadly, read through this. When you read through his story in the book of Judges, we never read about anything regarding his relationship with God. From the first woman to Delilah to the prostitute to the... I mean, I know it's a short four chapters, but read them through. We never see a prayer. We never see worship. We just don't ever see him interacting with God. We never see him have this like amazing God moment that at least is recorded. And he's supposed to be devoted to God. Like his life is like, how could your life be all about God, but he's never seen in your life? You know, he's never talked about, he's never like expressed, like there's something wrong with the picture, because ultimately that was supposed to be his identity. It wasn't until he was captured by his enemies, his eyes gouged out and in chains, that he finally that we finally see him cry out to God. That's the only time we see him prayer. That's the only times we finally see him like, God, help me, you know, let me be what I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. God, you called me to bring victory and to help the people of God to be free from the power of the Israelites, right? He was supposed to be a deliverer, a champion for God, and he just used all of his skills and his abilities for exclusively selfish reasons in his sexual relationships and, you know, it was all about him all the time, and it was never about God, and his life was supposed to be about God until he got to the very, very end. So here's the primary point. The worst life you could live is never living out the identity God intended for you. That's the worst life anyone could ever live. And so some people that might listen to this podcast, people that come to church, people in Southwest Missouri where I live, wherever you guys might, there are millions and billions of people not living out their identity in God right now. And that is by far the worst life you could ever live. So I want to focus on identity just for a few minutes, all right? So group question, what was Samson's identity? We've talked about this, but it was that he
was to be a judge, right? Or a king?
He was supposed to be a Nazirite, right?
Nazirite.
So that was his identity. That was supposed to be his identity, right? Everything was supposed to revolve around that. I mean, we can kind of use joking identities now and like, you know, well, I'm a Nebraskan, you know, I'm whatever it might be, you know, I am this, but he was supposed to be a Nazirite. And that was supposed to go well beyond just some like, oh, I have long hair and et cetera. No, a Nazirite meant he was supposed to live a life fully devoted to God. Here's some important aspects. If you look this up of what does it mean to take a Nazirite vow or to be a Nazirite? So by definition, the Hebrew word for Nazir simply means to be separated or consecrated. So first, the individual enters, and this is important because this relates to us today here as males in our context, in our culture today. So first, if you want to be a Nazirite, the individual enters into the vow voluntarily. So God didn't make him, you know, being a Nazirite, that's a you choice. That's about you being willing and to volunteer to say, God, I want my life to be devoted to you. I want to be set apart. I want to be holy. So to all of us guys out here today, you want to be separated, set apart, devoted to God? You got to choose it. Like, it's not going to, like, it's not up to God. It's up to you.
Yeah,
that's your choice. It's voluntarily. It's you volunteer for it. You can either do it or you cannot do it. Secondly, which is good for us here today, is both men and women could participate in this vow, a man or a woman. So it wasn't exclusive, wasn't just a dude thing, but if you're a woman, you could take the Nazirite vow as well. So three guidelines are given to a Nazirite. Numbers chapter 6, verse 3 to 7 tells us that he or she was to abstain from wine or fermented drink, which Samson didn't do that, nor was the Nazirite to drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins, not even the seeds or skins. Samson did that. Next, the Nazirite was not to cut his hair for the length of the vow. Last, he was not to go near a dead body because that would make him ceremonially unclean. Even if a member of his immediate family died, he was not to go near the corpse. So we see Samson just obliterate everything that's supposed to be a Nazirite. He just disobeyed all of them, right? So he clearly didn't hold to the vow. So, but the simplest definition is that you are committing to a life that is set apart and devoted completely to God. So as we kind of put this in modern day language, we're not going to be, I mean, I'm not going to walk around and tell people like, listen, I'm a Nazirite, you know,
right.
But I want to be a Nazirite, right? Like when I read this, that should be the desire of our hearts because simply we want to be set apart and we want to be completely devoted to God, right? That's kind of the goal of our lives now as followers of Christ. So essentially we are now living a modern day Nazirite lifestyle. Is that we're supposed to be separated to God, and we're trying to keep things out of our life that just aren't going to honor God. That, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we don't have to argue about this. It's not really a debate we need to have in this podcast, but, you know, I understand some people are like, well, I think it's okay for Christians to drink alcohol, blah, blah, blah. So I don't really want to dive into that argument. If you're listening, please, let's just not argue about it. But here's what I will say for me personally. The reason I don't get near alcohol or touch it, sip it, drink it, it's just, I don't think there's going to be any benefit for me personally from it. And I just don't know how it's going to ultimately draw me closer to God. Mm-hmm. So I just don't need it in my life, right? And it's just expensive and, you know, et cetera. You know, there's even practical reasons why, you know. I joke with people just because my mom's a bartender growing up. Like sometimes when I'm going through the grocery store, I look at like alcohol and liquor prices just for fun. This might sound weird, but anyway, you know, I just look at it just for fun. And I'm always like, man, I'm glad I don't drink alcohol. That's way more expensive. Just the cost of it. I'm just thinking about the money I'm going to save, let alone I know that nothing productive is going to come out of that for me. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to argue that. Again, have your own opinion, whatever. It's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying for me personally, that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying for us as men of God, I do think the overall goal should be let's stay away from stuff that could potentially move us away from God rather than closer to mm-hmm. him. I think that's at least something we could agree on, right? Mm-hmm. So we may not have the title of Nazirite, but we are supposed to be set apart, devoted to God. Look at this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. It says, you two are being completed in him, the one who has dominion over all rule, all authority. In him, you are also circumcised, set apart by a spiritual act performed without hands. The anointed one's circumcision cut you off from the sinfulness of your flesh. You were buried with him beneath the waters of the ceremonial washing called baptism, and then were raised up with him by faith and the resurrection power of God, who brought him back from the dead. So, maybe even a simpler way, the Bible also says this: if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So I'm supposed to be different now, as I have made a commitment, a Nazirite vow, if you will, as I've said I'm going to be set apart and devoted to live for God. Now, there's a lot of things in my life that need to die and need to just go away and not to be there anymore, because my identity now is that I'm set apart and I'm devoted to God. So what is our identity and how does it connect to Samson? All right, number one, even before we were born, our intended identity was to follow God. That's our intended identity. So my name is Jeremiah, but I love Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I set you apart as a prophet to the nation. So like God was saying to Jeremiah, like before you were born, my intention for your identity was to be set apart and devoted to God. And that is applicable to us as men of God, is that our identity is supposed to be men that are set apart and devoted to live a life for God. Number two, your identity can only be found in Christ. This is my life verse. I don't know if you guys have a life verse or not, but this is definitely my three life verses. But Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, it says, if any of you want to walk my path, you're going to have to deny yourself. You'll have to take up your cross every day and follow me. If you try to avoid danger and risk, then you'll lose everything. If you let go of your life and risk all for my sake, then you will find you will be rescued, healed, made whole and full. What good does it do if you gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Sorry. But then your own life slips through your fingers and is lost to you. And probably the most meaning part of that scripture for me is that it says when you choose to deny yourself, give up your life, and be set apart and devoted to God, that's when you find life. And so I don't always know how to explain it to people, but for me, when I got saved and became a Christian, the moment I had my major come to Jesus moment, it's like I found myself. It's like I found my identity, and I've never questioned it since. I've never struggled with it. I've never like, who am I? What am I supposed to be? It was in that moment of surrendering that I realized this is my identity now. This is who I am. I'm set apart. I'm devoted, and I'm called to live for Jesus the rest of my life. Guys have comments on that? Okay, deep thought here. Let me go to the third point. Number three, your identity is not what you do, it's who you are. And I want to make this real clear because I've sat down with people that are like, so there's a big difference between purpose and identity, in my opinion, okay? So a lot of people are like, I just want to know what my purpose is. Oh, and so really what that kind of means is like, what's my job supposed to be, right? That's what really I get into the discussion. So it's like, what's my purpose? Oh, your purpose on this earth shall be a Toyota mechanic. Oh, you know, like, you know, your purpose shall be an electrician. That's your purpose. And I understand that. That's important. We have to, you know, in this life, we kind of figure out, who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? You know, for me, it's a vocational pastor. Okay, that's okay. But that is not my identity. And this is a problem for dudes, guys, is that specifically for males in particular, is our identity becomes our jobs, and that's not our identity. Mm-hmm. Our identity is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Okay, that's where my identity is. My identity is not, you know, what's your identity, Pastor Jeremiah? Oh, I'm a pastor. If that's my first response, then I've missed what identity really means. It's like, no, who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, well, I'm a follower of Christ. Oh, okay, yeah, but what do you do? Well, I mean, I try to serve people and, you know, I should find myself saying like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm a pastor. Yeah, that's my job. But that's not my identity. It's just like a vocation. It's a gift of service that I do as I follow Jesus Christ, but it has nothing to do with my identity, right? So I really want to pound that into us as males, is that we got to be careful, because as males, we often just our identity becomes our work. And then mm-hmm. we just live that whole thing for the rest of our life. And then we just die. And our identity was like, what was he? What was Rolando? He was a mechanic. No, well, hopefully we will say someday when you die, mm-hmm. he was a man of God. He was a great father that loved his wife and his children. And he taught them to love Jesus just like he, that was his identity. That was his purpose on this earth. Yes, he was a mechanic. He was a good mechanic. Praise God. We manipulated and used him as much as possible in the life of the church to fix our cars. But, you know, like, no, it's like, that's not your identity. Your identity is who you are in Jesus Christ. So here's a great mm-hmm. quote, right? Christian selfhood is not defined in terms of who we are in and of ourselves. It's defined in terms of what God does to us and the relationship he creates with us and the destiny he appoints for us. God made us who we are so we can make known who he is. Our identity is for the sake of making known his identity. So let me simplify that. You've probably heard this statement before. What's your purpose? To know him and to make him known. Have you ever heard that before, that phrase? Mm-hmm. That's our goal. And that's really, that was a more complicated way to say it. But essentially you're saying like, your identity is to, I love it, the last part here, let me go back to it. Our identity is for the sake of making known his identity. So your identity is to let people know who Jesus is and what he wants to do for them and what he wants to do in their life, just like he did in your life. That's your identity. That's it. And this is why I tell people all the time, if you can understand and grab hold that that's your identity, then your job and your other stuff is whatever. Like, as much as I love being a pastor, I could quit tomorrow and go be an electrician. Might not be a very good one, but because that is not my identity. My identity is who I am in Christ, and that my calling is to, and my purpose is to know him and to make him known to other people. So I could be a mechanic. My wife dreams that I was, you know, I would be one of those, et cetera, et cetera. You guys are getting what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Is your identity is not your job. Your identity is who you are in Christ. That's your identity. Don't get that confused with purpose, because God will reveal that to you. All right. I think this is, I hope this is powerful to you. This you might understand because you have kids. You guys don't have kids yet, but let me try to explain it this way. Okay. So I have twin boys, Isaiah and Hezekiah. You guys know them, right? Okay. Yes. So if you went up to Hezekiah and you said, what's your name? What would he say?
Hezekiah. Hezekiah, right?
Yep. Yeah. But then you'd be like, well, where'd you get that name?
My parents.
My yeah, mom parents. And my dad. Yep. Then you look at Hezekiah and you'd be like, oh, you have brown hair and blue eyes. Where'd you get that?
You'd be like, my dad.
My dad?
Yeah.
And so you would, so everything he is, he got from me. There's nothing that he is or that he has that he didn't get from me. He is me. Mm-hmm. All, his whole identity comes from me. As a matter of fact, guess what? He wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm God. Okay, I understand. Okay, but what am I saying? If it wasn't for Pastor Rachel and I, you know, mm-hmm. there would be no Hezekiah. There would be no Isaiah. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Their identity is completely tied to who I am as a father. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't exist. They wouldn't have an identity. They wouldn't even be alive if it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I understand. I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for my mom, dad, and mm-hmm. all the way back to God. I understand that, right? But what I'm saying is their identity is exclusively tied to who I am. And this is literally the mindset I'm supposed to take as a believer in Christ. My identity, you know, Jeremiah, where'd you get, you know, how'd you become like that? Mm-hmm. Oh, my dad, my father, God. Why do you live like that? Why do you talk like that? Mm-hmm. Why is your life centered? My dad. I get all my identity comes from him. Mm-hmm. Everything I am is because of my dad, Jesus, my father in heaven. He's literally my identity now. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't even exist. So that's really how we're intended to live. We're supposed to be living our whole life being like, my identity, I could never even understand, possibly understand who I am or what I was made for or what I'm supposed to do. None of that would even make sense if I didn't know Jesus, because my whole identity is wrapped up in him. So now to be disconnected with him, you wonder why people are confused. You wonder why identity issues are so prevalent in our world today. It's because people are disconnected from who their identity is supposed to be found in. That is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So if we will commit to investing in our relationship with Jesus, what we do will happen naturally. Purpose comes out of our identity. Purpose comes out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So I try to encourage people when they're like, well, what's my purpose? Should I, I've talked to people, Harrison, I think we talked about this, should I be in ministry? Should I be a pastor? And it's not a bad question to ask. And it's not necessarily the wrong question to ask, but the most important thing to do is that our purpose comes out of our identity, which is in Jesus Christ. And so I'm chasing that first. Like I'm chasing my relationship with God first. And because that, the job and my purpose is completely secondary to my relationship with Christ.
Right.
And then purpose comes out of relationship. Yeah. So as I seek, it's kind of like the Bible says, not totally, but in a sense, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto him, unto you and me and all of us together. But as I seek Jesus first, then, purpose, direction, all that's going to come. Mm-hmm. I'm making my identity, which is to know him and to make him known. That's the priority in my life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus will shake out all the other stuff.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
All right. Let's read the end of Samson's story, then we'll pray. And then, unfortunately, for those of you listening, you're not going to get to eat the pizza that we're going to eat in just a second. All right. Let's read the end of Samson's story before we come to end this session. Judges chapter 16, verses 28 to 30. Samson crying out to the Lord, Lord, eternal one, remember me and fill me with strength this one last time. O true God, so that with this last act of revenge, I can pay back the Philistines for the loss of my sight. He took hold of the two main pillars of the building, the one supporting the roof, and he leaned hard against them, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Samson, verse 30, let me die here with the Philistines. He pushed with all his might, the pillars gave. The building collapsed on the rulers and all the Philistine people who were in it. The number of the enemies that he killed at his death was greater than the number of Philistines that he had killed during the rest of his life. So I want us to, as we close, Samson lived his whole life never functioning or operating in his true identity in God. And it wasn't until this last moment that he finally realized, like, wait, I'm going to call on God. I never lived, what I was supposed to be. My talents, my abilities that were supposed to be used for God, for the name of God and for God's people were never maximized. They were never used. But he came to his senses and he's like, God, give me one more shot here. And God's faithful. He's got a grace and mercy. He met him there. So think about that. How would you define your identity? That's a good question for all of us as guys to ponder, to think about. Yeah. And again, I want you to focus on, our identity is in Christ and our relationship with Christ, not in our work, not in our jobs, not in what we do. And what has been some of our biggest struggles in living out our identity? Because it is something we have to process, that we have to live through and that we will live through for the rest of our life. So if I can encourage guys, if anything, is to connect to Jesus, because that's where your identity is ultimately going to be found. If anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will find it.
Yep. Amen.
All right. We're going to let Harrison, you want to close us in prayer?
Yes, for sure.
Pray for those guys out there that might be listening to this podcast.
Thank you, Father, that we're able to even do this podcast. Let it reach out to whoever needs to hear it, Father. Prepare their hearts to hear it. Prepare their ears to hear it, Father, and open their hearts to receive this message. Show them what areas they need to be and how they can relate to Sam and what Samson did and how they can do something different. Thank you, Father, and thank you for this pizza that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
Time to take a ride.